Wake up, indeed. It is a very good day because the Pokeballs podcast is here for its next episode. Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode. My name's Lee, also known as Osiris. And as always, joined by my gracious host, Scott. How are you doing this week, my friend?
One excellent intro that was, man. That was sick.
Thank you, mate.
That was awesome.
Practicing
it.
Worlds.
Oh, you've practiced.
It's been announced now. I can finally talk about it on the pod. I will be commentating Worlds, so that is going to be good, going out to Yokohama later next month, so not too long, mate.
No, mate, I'm well excited for you. I am well excited. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. We've had a lot of teasers for Worlds coming up. We can talk about the little anime intro that they made for Worlds, which was wicked. It's been interesting. I don't know what you want to dive into first, really. Have you been? I know we've just had a conversation.
I'm all right, mate.
You're
I reckon
right.
We should dive into
just
this.
Just dive straight in. Okay.
For those that are just listening and not viewing, I'm waggling my Pokemon Go +++. I keep calling it Pokeball. It is a Pokeball, though. Let's talk about sleep, mate. We talked about it last week. Obviously, it was rolling out everywhere last week when we were on the pod. And it's fully.
Can I talk about my experience first, and then we can roll
into
it?
I would love to hear about it, mate.
Because you've probably got the better opinion.
So I don't know. I think you've got the better opinion, to be honest.
It's been out for what, a week now, probably since the last pod. Mm-hmm. So I have a few opinions. I don't know how true they are, but as time goes on, I guess we'll see. But as an overall, first thing to note, as an overall app. Excuse me. As my experience with the app, I actually really like the app, and I like the concept of the app. I think it's cool. I like the fact that you get berries and you can make stews and you can feed the Snorlax and you get different Pokemon. Like, it's a simple idea, but I kind of like it. I'm just like, I rate this. So as we discussed, there are two ways, for those of you who don't know, to use Pokemon Sleep. You can A, use your phone. You have to have it on your bed face down. Which is what I did for this week. Or B, you can buy the Pokemon Go +++, which was what Lee has. That's what you're dangling in front of the camera a moment ago. So those are your two options. And so for me, I'd never pre-ordered it. It came out last Friday in the UK. Because it was a lot of money. And there's a lot of hot topic. There's a big debate about whether it's worth the money. It's arguably worth the money for Go, as we've mentioned off camera. And a lot of people have said that. But for Sleep, I'll get into that in a minute. But anyway, so my experience was I used my phone. So first night after we recorded the podcast, which was last Tuesday, went to bed. I was like, oh, damn, down on Pokemon Go, set it all up, went to bed. And what I decided to do first night, because I was worried about it moving while I was sleeping, right? Because the whole point, you're meant to leave it like face down on your bed somewhere or on your pillow or whatever. And so I was like, I'll put it under the pillow because I was like, you know, that way it won't fly about anywhere. It'll just go flying off the edge of the bed. So
that
wicked.
Makes sense.
That's what makes sense. Went to bed, set it up, stowed it under the pillow, went to bed. Woke up in the morning and I opened the app up and it said the app crashed because it was causing the phone to overheat. So I was like, sweet. First night went really well. Apparently I only slept for 1 hour. So I was like, okay, fuck. I was like, this is not great. I was gutted. I was actually really excited to see what's going on. So then I had to wait till the following night. I was like, okay, fine. I'll just put it on the pillow next to me. Whatever happens, happens. I just want to see what it's like. And I put it on. And I was like, sweet. It worked. I woke up in the morning. It said I slept for a certain amount of time. You know, I did all the fun stuff. I collected the berries. I worked out what Pokemon I had found and the sleep types that I was. And I was like, yeah, this is really cool. But then, so one of the things they advertise for you to do is to charge it on your bed. And as I mentioned previously in the last podcast, I don't really like having my phone on my bed because I was in a really bad habit of going on to it in the morning. And it's just horrible. Like, I hate going on my phone early in the morning, especially as soon as I wake up. I used to do it all the time because I used to have it on charge next to my bed. My alarm would go off and I'd go straight onto my phone when I was like half asleep. And so I have a habit of putting it on charge of my desk now, and it's been amazing. Like, would highly recommend doing that if you're the type of person that goes straight on your phone in the morning. Like, it's really good. And so obviously I'm not charging it because I don't have any, I haven't anything set up to charge it on the bed. I didn't really want to charge it, so I made sure it was fully charged, put it onto my bed, and then in the morning I'd basically lost all the battery for my phone, and I was like, sweet. So basically, if I want to use it and I don't charge it up fully, it will die overnight, right? Because that's how much it drains. Because although it dims the phone brightness to like a tiny amount, the app is still running and it has to run in order for it to work.
Yeah.
And so I was like, kind of gutted. So I tried it a few more times. Same thing happened. Same sort of battery drain. But I still kind of enjoyed waking up and be like, oh, I've got this, I've got that. Checked it all out. Seeing what sleeping type I was. And I was like, oh, I actually love this idea. And I was like, I don't want to keep using my phone. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go look at reviews of the Pokeball Plus Plus. Pokeball, whatever it's called. It's really confusing, okay?
Sorry, mate. That's my fault.
No, it's not your fault. It's just like a stupid name. Why call something Pokemon Go Plus Plus? Or just call it something different. Anyway. So I was
I tried Googling the Pokeball Plus Plus and got like no results for the longest time. And I was like, why not? It's like a brand new product. It's coming out very soon. Why has no one got it? And then I realized I was Googling the wrong thing. Anyway, yeah. Back to your point.
So I was like, granted, in all fairness, before I say what I'm about to say, the device has not been out for long. And so people have probably only had it for a week. I don't know if it came out in America a bit sooner. And yeah. So I was viciously looking for reviews of the device because I was like, I want to know how good it is, whether it's worth the money. More importantly, is it worth it just for Pokemon Sleep? Because I want to use Pokemon Sleep, but that is the current only other alternative. And I was like, okay. So I looked for loads of reviews. Most of the reviews talk about how good it is for Go. And as we've discussed, if you play Go, it's actually a sick device. So I was like, okay, that's fine. It took me forever to find one review that the guy was... Again, this is where your experience... You can comment on your experience with it, but I found one guy who talked about it just specifically with Pokemon Sleep, and all he said was that he had problems with it. The biggest problem he had was he couldn't work out half the time whether he'd actually set it to sleep mode. I know it's meant to like make a noise, but half the time he said it didn't work. And he said it was just like a gimmick. And he just basically got really frustrated with it. And I was like, I genuinely want to use this app. And I wanted it to be good. I mean, granted, this was one review from one person, but I mean, that's all I could find. Maybe we'll get more reviews. Maybe they'll update. I don't know if they can update it with firmware or whatnot. But like, to me at the moment, you can speak to your experience in a minute. I think what they should do, and I don't know, maybe they've got this in the pipeline. I think they should develop a wearables app for whatever smartwatch you wear, because that makes the most sense, especially if it's tracking your sleep data as well. Like if you have an Apple Watch or a Fitbit, right? Those are the two things you need to do. Like just develop an app for that. It would be way better. Like for those people who don't want to buy the Pokemon, even if they charged it for like a tenner, like I'd still buy it. I'd be tempted to go buy a smartwatch just to wear at night for Pokemon Sleep, because it can actually track your biometric data properly and your heart rate. Because at the moment, like, I think it's just pulling numbers out of his ass. Like, how does it really know, especially with the Pokemon Plus Plus? Like, it's not, as we've mentioned last week, like, a lot of sleep data is taken from your heartbeat, because it can tell when your heartbeat slows and when your heart rate increases, you're probably turning, you're tossing, turning more. And like when you're in REM sleep, your camera's a little bit out of focus, by the way. I don't know if that's a...
There we go. Gonna get it?
Nope, still out of focus.
There we go. No, mate, that's exactly what Tash said to me.
That was basically my experience with it.
How can this device track your sleep when a smartwatch can't always track it accurately? Come on, camera. Do this thing. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I think when my Apple Watch doesn't, and you know, I did track my sleep through my Apple Watch for months and it was never correct. It was always like off a little bit, or it would say I was sleeping when I know I wasn't. And
it's the best thing we have, right?
It's the best thing you've got, and it's the most accurate thing you've got, like attached to you. So it does make me question, it's like, how accurate is this? I don't think it's an accurate measure. I don't think it's anything to judge your sleep by. And it's interesting what you found out about the Pokemon.
There we go.
The Poke Go Plus Plus, whatever we're calling it, this thing. this thing, this device.
So what is your experience with it?
Bought Pokemon Go. I am so pleased I bought it. I think it is worth every penny for Pokemon Go. I love this device for Pokemon Go. I had a great time using it over the weekend. It got delivered Friday, and I used it all over the weekend, and it was amazing, and I had a lot of fun with it, and I think it's a great device for that. For Pokemon Sleep, though, we were recording our data from the last pod to this one, okay? So I'm going to be honest with you. It has been a massive chore doing it. That is all it's felt like to me, mm-hmm. a massive chore. I had the same issue as you on the first night with the app. Not that my phone overheated or anything. It just didn't record any sleep data for me. So it was like, it was a complete waste of time. So I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to do it the next night. I'm going to wait till my Pokemon Go Plus arrives and I'll do it with that.
Mm-hmm.
So that arrived on the Friday. And yeah, I would agree with the guy. I think it's not very obvious when it's active. And I have a little young 4-year-old daughter and she loves everything like this. So naturally she wanted to play around with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool. I'll try and activate it now. I think I know when to activate when it's active. You press and hold the button, it goes blue like that. But then it should sing.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Pikachu normally sings, but it's not doing it now. So this is like a classic example, right? So Pikachu sings. She finds out the cutest thing. So she's like cuddling it and asking if Pikachu's actually inside. And I'm like, of course Pikachu's inside. So she set it off multiple times throughout and over the weekend. So when I went to bed, not realizing that it had already been active through the day and been like sitting on my desk when I hadn't been using it, it actually been tracking sleep there. So in the morning when I woke up after tracking my sleep, there was 2 sleep cycles are being tracked and it didn't count my actual sleep cycle. It counted the one from earlier in the middle of the day when it had been sitting on my desk. And then I obviously got loads of random sleep like cycle stuff and Pokemon from it, which was just weird. So I was like, okay, I'm kind of playing it. Last night I did it and I guess it was kind of accurate. And I got my first shiny Pokemon this morning. But mate, honestly, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to continue like with the app, to be honest. I feel like
this is the thing,
right?
We
talked about it this week on the pod and I'm like, I don't need to use it tonight. I don't really, there's no compatibility with home, so I've got no incentive to play it, because my one big incentive would be I'll play it and then I can port the Pokemon to home that I can use in like Scarlet and Violet, which would be kind of cool, but there's no incentive to do that at all. There's no kind of additional stuff like Pokemon Go's got, like loads of different things that makes Pokemon Go a really good app that I actually enjoy playing. It just felt like such a chore doing it every night, or trying to do it every night, really unsuccessfully, even with like both ways of doing it. And I just think, I don't know, it's a novelty, and I it's sad to say it, but I don't see it lasting. I think it's going to be one of those things that kind of, oh yeah, do you remember Pokemon Sleep that took like but 4 years to develop, and then
I don't get it. You feel like they would have, like, this is the problem, as basically what you described after seeing that review for the Pokeball Plus thing. I was like, okay, I'm just not going to use it anymore because I don't want to have my phone on my bed, and this is the only other option if you don't want to have your phone on the bed. So it's like, I was actually quite sad. I was like, oh, I guess I'm just going to delete it. It's like, what? It's really frustrating to me. But like, if you had it as an app on your smartwatch, you don't even need to tell it when you're going to sleep. It just knows because your resting heart rate drops. So
yeah,
it's just like,
anytime during the next day, you can go on and check that data.
Yeah.
Because it's there.
It just,
you know?
That doesn't make sense to me.
I think you hit the nail on the head with it. It needs to be a smart device, like a smartwatch.
Yeah, 100%.
Or wearable. 100%. Because otherwise, it's just no good. And it was cool. I'll try and show you. I got a shiny Caterpie this morning. Ooh. That was kind of cool. But at the same time, it was like, it didn't really feel that, Like, I was honestly, every morning I've been going in to try and sync up and it failing and saying I've got two sleep cycles or whatever. It's been a chore to get through the screens and be like, I just want to put this down and I don't really want to do anything with it. And the only reason I'm doing it is so we can talk about it today on the pod. And I feel like I have given it a chance because I have persisted with it, but not for me, mate. Not something that I vibe with. I'm pleased I got this device because I think when we go to like Golf Fest and stuff next year and other events that I'll be doing with Pokemon Go, I think it's really great. It's really great. I love it. I think it's a brilliant device for Pokemon Go players. But if you're buying it solely for Pokemon Sleep, I would definitely consider putting the money that you would put into this into just buying yourself a smartwatch and going down that route if you're worried and you want to track your sleep, because that is a way more reliable, way more less tedious way of doing it, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really think there's much to say, really. It's really sad. But I mean, yeah. I don't know. Maybe they'll do something with it, but we'll have to see. The problems you just described, I think, are what's going to put a lot of people off. But it just does seem weird based on the amount of development time they've had for this. Because it could have been a home run, really. Even if they made their own sleep tracker that you could wear on your fucking wrist, I would buy the shit out of that.
Yeah.
All it has to do is like a Pokemon watch, bro. All it has to be, I don't care if it was 150 quid or even more than that, if it was a sick like Pokemon watch that you could wear that also works with Pokemon Home and or Go as well. It just seems like a no-brainer to me.
They missed a trick as well, because you know the Poke Edge device that you've got in Pearl, Diamond, Platinum? Yeah. Like, just make a watch like based on that. Like, you know, how cool would that be?
Yeah, no, yeah, like, I agree. That is one of the coolest things from Pokemon game. And
you could put all the little like things in that you've got in the Poketch, like the different things in there, and it actually has a sleep tracker on it. And
It would not cost them a lot of money to make, and people would buy the shit out of it, bro. It's just so many things. I mean, obviously, we're not them, so there's obviously reasons why they haven't done it. But things like this, unless they're just lazy and they're just like, we don't need to do that because people still want to use it. But it just, to me, it would be really cool. But I don't know what the direction they're going to take with it. Maybe they've got a plan to do something like that, or, you know, like, who knows? But it just seems weird that it's kind of almost dead already. I mean, I don't really, haven't heard many people playing it. Like, I haven't seen anything anymore of people playing it. I've seen a few people mentioning it, but like, I feel like the hype's just going to die down within the next week or so. Not that there was much hype for it, but the user base at least will drop. I think they'll see a massive drop in user base, but it's just strange, very strange to me. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see over time.
Wait and see how it plays out. They may do some updates and make it a bit more interactive or refined. I don't know, mate, but we'll see. Yeah. Other news, though, I guess we can move on a little bit. But let us know your experiences. If you've been having similar experience, you've been trying Pokemon Sleep out, or you've been trying the Pokeball Plus Plus, or the Pokemon Go Plus Plus out, do let us know what you think of it. It'd be great to hear some feedback from all of you as well. But, yeah, I don't think there's too much more to say on Pokemon Sleep for now, anyway.
No.
We did talk about a potential raid event that I'm not going to drag you into this because you don't need to be dragged through the mire on this, but I was convinced we were going to get seven
stars. So was I. And I think, don't think you're stupid to think that, but there's part of me really thinks that they did not do it to subvert expectations, because I'm convinced that they saw that everyone expected to be, and they were like, no, let's not do it this week. I think they're just literally just going to shadow drop it. I mean, the event, as we mentioned before, everything is linked, right? So the mystery gift that we thought was going to be the Mew on the weekend that was linked to the anime was a Dark Terra Charizard. Because it was...
But that made sense.
Sense, right? Yeah. So, like, I don't understand what they're doing with... Unless they've got a plan for the Mew, whether it's going to be a Worlds thing or, like, we know it's there, so they're obviously doing it at some point, but maybe because it got data mined, they were like, we're just going to drop it randomly, and so you have no idea when it's coming.
You've got to think it's going to be for Worlds.
But this Sunday will be interesting to see what we get announced, if we get anything announced. Because
not this Sunday, it won't be, because this is the first weekend of the Rillaboom Raid. We may get a Spotlight to Raid for the second phase of the Rillaboom, which will be the weekend after that. And then that weekend, which is the weekend before the weekend of Worlds, I think that Sunday is maybe when we see the Mewtwo raid announced.
Like you're going to have to try and prep a video just before you go.
I know. Well, I'll be at home on the Sunday night for when the Rillaboom raid ends, so I'll be able to kind of cover that. And it makes it a little easier as well if Mew's the only Pokemon you can take into the raid. It depends if it's a mystery gift, and then you have to make a build, but that should be pretty straightforward as well. So I'll try and get stuff done before I go in regards to it, and then maybe cover it when I'm over there, because I'll be taking my setup with me, because I'm going to try and do some vlogging when I'm there about the whole thing.
You should definitely try and do as much content as you can.
I'm going to be so tired, mate.
Going to be screwed. I know, obviously, having spent time with you at events that you've casted, EURC in particular, and other events, I can imagine, and obviously I've seen it in effect, it whammies the hell out of you, because, you know, you're constantly like trying to be focused, right? You're commentating, you got to be on it, and you're in front of the camera for a long time, you're in front of, I would imagine, bright lights as well. I haven't actually seen the setup. You can't look tired, so you got to be as sharp as possible in front of the camera. And I know you have like long rehearsals as well before and after, and all the other bits of the other content that they ask you to record. So I can only imagine how brutal it is. And obviously, I've seen you after casting, and I know how tired you get. So
yeah, they're long days, yawning already thinking about it. Yeah, I think my flights though don't help me, because I fly out on Tuesday morning, and I land in Japan. It's a direct flight, so I land at like 7:30 Wednesday morning. And it's like the worst time to fly out, because it's going to be morning for me from the UK, and like,
so you're basically going to, it's going to be, you're going to skip a day basically with the time difference and the time it takes to fly. So if you can, it's going to be weird. You're going to have to try and, if you can sleep on the plane journey, then you'll be Gucci, because you'll just be like, I just napped, it's now Wednesday. Yeah. But if you don't, you're going to be screwed.
I'm going to be, because I kind of want to spend that first day, get there in Tokyo, and I want to explore Tokyo before I go to your
I've got a list of stuff that I need you to pick up for me, so you know there's loads of stuff that I want you to try and look for. But
take a spare suitcase with me.
Yeah, you might.
I've heard though that you should travel light for like public transport and stuff. Like, you shouldn't like take like massive luggage, but I'm kind of screwed a bit, because I need to take,
what are we talking about? I went to Japan and I didn't have that problem.
Did you have a big suitcase?
Yeah, I had a massive, because I went to Thailand at the same time, so I had a massive suitcase with me. Didn't
have
a single problem with it.
I'm not worried then.
But yeah, no.
That made me a little bit.
No, I was fine. You'll be fine.
That'll be good, yeah. So, but no, I'll half pack it, so I've got plenty of room to bring things back.
Yes. But
copious amount of mooncakes.
With it on the horizon, though, it does feel like once Worlds is out of the way, and obviously they're going to tease stuff at Worlds as well, as we mentioned.
That has to be the place for the DLC stuff. It has to be now.
So, like, as soon as, like, we'll get the teaser, whatever it is, I can't see them. They will have to show something. We know this, right? Mm-hmm. And then after that, I think it's going to be all guns blazing, because, excuse me, if it's dropping in September, they have like 3 or 4 weeks to hype the shit out of it before it drops. Whether it drops, will probably drop late September, I'd imagine. And then it's all guns blazing. But again, we've been wrong about stuff in the past. We just have to wait and see. It ultimately depends on what we get in the lead up to and at Worlds, basically, in the week or so before, what ends up being the event, the Terror Raid event after Rillaboom, whether we get the Mewtwo one before that. And then, yeah, we'll just Would you can just, I mean, it'd be interesting to have this conversation afterwards just to see information we actually know for that. But it's getting closer now. I mean, obviously, patience, you know, just being patient helps, obviously. But we said multiple times, I've been talking about the rumors for such a long time since we had light on. You just have to wait because the Pokemon Company are just, they just keep their cards as close to them as possible and will not show you anything to do with the DLC until they decide they're ready. Even if they have shit planned, they'll be like, no. Which I'm convinced is what they did with the 7-star Mewtwo raid. I could be wrong. I could just be hoping that they did that. It just seemed weird.
So right to drop it that
on the 25th anniversary. Because they
didn't
had
make much of it as well.
They had a Go thing as well. They had a Mewtwo in Go, didn't they? There was like an event for or was it just Mew?
The Mew, they had Mew, yeah. They had it was like a pay event that you could get a shiny Mew in Pokemon Go. So they had that, yeah. And they've had Armored Mewtwo in Go before as well, so, but not recently. But I mean, I can't even think last week of the official Pokemon Twitter putting out a post about the 25th anniversary of that first movie, which I found really strange. Now, I don't know, I could have just missed it completely, but I do normally have like notifications on for those accounts.
I didn't see anything.
It was kind of weird to be like,
other than the fact that they
never did anything,
they cancelled some stuff which people were quite frustrated about.
Yeah.
We'll touch on it briefly.
We're wrong about a few things recently, but we were right about the Chestnut, Belfox, and the Rillaboom raids. So
it's just timing. Right. It's the timing we just can't work out because
we can't be right every time.
No.
Otherwise, they'll expect us like we've got, like we're in the nose or something like that, you know?
In the know.
The ITK accounts, which we're not at all. I wish we were. I wish we had information. I want to know stuff. But never mind. Yeah, like you say, there was cancelled stuff last week, which was out of the blue as well, wasn't it, mate? You lead the way on it.
We don't have to dive into it for long, but one of the big things of going to the Pokemon World Championships as a spectator, and one of the big draws to get people to go, even if you aren't competing in that year's world, is they don't always do it, granted you, they have skipped years or they haven't done it. They normally do an open event. And what the open event is, it's a tournament for whatever you're playing, video game, TCG, whatever. It's called the open event. And it will give you a chance to earn championship points for the following season. And they announced that they were doing one for Yokohama. And people were like, sweet. I know people on Twitter were talking about, some people specifically tried to get to go just to play in the open. Obviously, you know, Worlds, they wanted to go for Worlds, but people still do travel to events like for the Open. I mean, one of the reasons why Worlds in London was so good was because it was, you know, I got a chance to play in the Open. I played in the Open and actually had a really good time. Like, it just gives you something else to do, right? And so I was like, sweet.
Gives you a head start with championship points for the coming season as well, you know? It's like a massive...
Exactly. Like,
advantage.
So yeah, and they just randomly decided, oh no, we're not doing it anymore, and they didn't give any rhyme or reason. And as you can imagine, I mean, a lot of people were very kind of peed off with it because a lot of people wanted to play in it, and they were just like, didn't even give us the courtesy to give us a reason. It's bizarre. I mean, We'll just have to see. I mean, I hope it goes well. I mean, we can talk about as well, obviously, the hyping it up. So they released a trailer the other day for Worlds. Probably the really cool, the best one they've done so far. And it all comes back to this whole, they're making like an effort, right? Because it's Japan. This is the thing that we were talking about. Like, why did they screw it? Like this is... The event, like, they've never done Worlds in Japan, which is crazy, really, because, you know, it's the home of Pokemon, right? But that's where the first region, that's where it's set. And so there was like, why have they not done it there? And they're doing it for the first time this year. So it's hyped up, and obviously they cancelled the Open, and, you know, it's just bizarre. So they made this intro, which I'm sure you've seen. We can watch it now. For this... Oh, we can't... Why is it being funny? Can I? I think you can see it. It's pretty much it there. This anime... It's essentially an anime intro for World, which is wicked. We've never had anything really like it before. So I'm going to play it now, and then we can talk about it afterwards. But it's really cool.
Our summer...
Way too loud. But like they animated like all of the it's just wicked. Like if competitive was like an anime, this is what it'd be like. It could be so cool. It's almost like the like just like the actual show.
It's so cool, is it? It's so cool.
It's just like the way they integrated like the games, the way they show people playing it, like running onto the stage, like the VGC stuff here. It's just crazy.
It's cool that they've got like really like common meta picks as well, you know?
Yeah.
They're listening as well. Yeah, it's very very cool.
But I mean,
it is very cool.
It's, well, yeah, one of the coolest ones they've definitely done.
Oh, intro, like, just little teaser, isn't it?
Little cheeky teaser. I mean, they did some cool stuff. They did the Pachirisu. They did the intro, one of the intro they did for London was wicked last year.
Oh, mate, that was, I think that is...
Chills.
Cheeky. I don't think that will ever,
true.
That was, like...
Was that just for VGC, or was that for the whole thing?
That was just for VG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, go look it up. We won't. Do you remember what it's called? Maybe we could quickly watch it. Pokemon World.
Just type in World
2022.
Yeah. It'll come up. The
Claim Your Glory. Yeah, this is the one.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
This is sick. I mean, this is specific to VGC, which is why it gives. It's really cool to me and Lee, but we won't harp on it for too long, but again, we might as well watch it just because we're on the topic. But the music with it is really sick as well, right?
It's like it's just one of the coolest things, and like it just gives you chills.
It's showing you like all the previous winners.
Yeah. Step one, which it really focuses on with this, is Patchy.
Pachirisu!
And Judy's team.
Mate, if this doesn't want to make you play Pokemon, man.
I know, right?
This is such a cool callback.
It's very sick. I remember when, I think me and Lou were opening the show at Worlds last year.
Damn.
And we were on the desk and we hadn't seen this. So this was like, this had been kind of kept back.
Because you said they hide stuff, don't they? Like you don't get to see any of the intros. Like
we have a first time reaction almost, you know. And I remember when we threw to it, they said there's gonna be a trailer that we're throwing to. So intro, introduce the event, have a little chat about what what players expect. We'll do the lower thirds, we'll do all of the get involved at home stuff, the mystery gift, and then gonna throw to this. We'll do that, and then we'll come back to you, and we'll get into game one, right? And we were like, cool, as normal sort of stuff. Do all of that. We throw to it, and we turn round to watch it on the big screens, because obviously you've got the bleachers there behind us where we're casting up on the kind of second tier.
Oh yeah, because you're in front of the main stage, right?
Yeah, yeah. So we turn round and watch it on that main stage, and it was like on all four big screens. And mate, I've never had, because it's like, you know, it starts off with a rash. Well, it starts off with Ray, you know, back in like 2012, I think, the celebration of him in that photo is, and then it's a rash. And they're all like the seasons when I started playing. I was kind of attending Worlds around those times, and it was just the nostalgia, like, kick. And then it was all based around that 2014 year with Seijun, Pachirisu. Oh, man, it was like, I was like, so close to tears in that moment. It was just like it hit so hard, but it was like, it was just, it's amazing, amazing piece.
It's
of,
one of those
it's art, that's what I would call it. It's a great trailer.
Everyone there, but, yeah. I remember standing in the crowd, I was there when they did the intro. Everyone was like, holy shit, this is one of the coolest things. The music, they just got the music right as well. Like,
oh, the track was,
it was just
banging.
Like, oh
yeah,
it's like almost like an Imagine Dragons song. And I was just like, this is,
I know, right?
So yeah. Cool.
So good.
It just
like
chills. It was a chills
moment as well in VG.
Yeah,
like peak moment. And it wasn't even a match or anything. It was just like, just shows you how like some of the talented people that are involved with
but
these events.
This is the type of shit. Even talking about it now, this is what makes me want to play the game. Like for the cool moment, like no one has replicated anything as cool as this. The Pachirisu. Moment.
And it
so,
kind of immortalizes those players forever, you know those players in the past, that gives them like,
well, Seijun's just an absolute legend, because he's just, he won Worlds with a Pachirisu in the video game in 2014 and was like, all right, I'm gonna go to TCG, won like multiple national championships in Korea with during TCG, and then
he played Unite last year,
he competed at Worlds on a Unite team last year. I was unfortunately
he's
managed
qualified
to meet him
for Worlds this year playing TCG.
Has he? I mean, the guy's just an all-out G man. I spoke to him. I managed to catch up with him because I have this. I think I mentioned this shit before, but I've got this massive TCG map with like all signatures on. It's a really nice map that I got. And he was like the one person. I've got like all the past winners on there. So one person I didn't have on there. And I was like hunting him down, man. Like I really wanted him on here, and I finally got a signature. So I don't know if you can. Let's see if I can find it. But this is the map. So it was a 2016 star. This was the map that they gave out to like
very
the CCG
cool
players.
Map, isn't it?
It's a really really nice map. I think it's one of the sickest ones they've done. And I did get him to sign it. It's, I think, where is it? I've got all of like. I've got like everyone's on here as much. So all the previous winners. I actually can't remember where he's gone now. It's hard to find it underneath the Pokemon because Masuda signed it as well. Lou signed it. Yeah, because I got Lou to take it to one of
the
worlds. Yeah, and it wasn't at this one. It was one of the previous ones. Where the fuck is it gone? There's your signature there, Osiris. I'm actually really annoyed that I can't find it.
Got on the map.
Oh, it's there. Found it.
Got on the map, fam.
He drew a little Pachirisu.
Oh, no way.
Oh, fuck.
You see that? It's so bright.
Can you see that? Just there?
Oh, yeah.
A little cheeky Pachirisu on his signature.
That is very cool.
So, yeah, I was like, this is sweet. So, I mean, I'm eventually going to throw this up. I mean, I've pretty much got all the signatures that I want.
You can get, like, frames for them to put them on the wall. They're like a holder.
You
they
mean the
really
Ultra Pro mats sleeves?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking I'm going to get one of those.
That would be cool on the wall.
But I've had this for, like, ages. But any person that I think is cool, I'll just get people to sign it. And so this is, like, my prized Pokemon possession.
Cool, fam.
Terrence's one always makes me laugh. One of my friends was like, I can't just sign this, like, right at the beginning. He goes, Scott, I don't know what to write. I'm sorry I couldn't make you good at the game. There's always TCG. Love you really, babe. That's what Terrence wrote. And I was like, sweet.
Thanks, T-Man.
Thanks, T-Man. But yeah, enough about Worlds, because I know not everyone really likes the video game stuff, but it just, again, not unfortunately, but it's close to our heart. So, and Lee's obviously commentating for Worlds for VGC. So that's why we went on that quite a long tangent, but it's important to mention because we are going to get some hopeful teasers for Scarlet and Violet, the DLC at Worlds. So there was that. And also, this is getting on to some of the stuff that I found this week. Pokemon, this is late news, but not late news, but it happened. I think I could have mentioned it on last week's pod, but I forgot. So as you may or may not know, I don't know if I mentioned this on the pod, I am a massive K-pop fan, big K-pop fan. And they did a little cheeky collaboration with a K-pop group. And they made a song with Anthem, which is one of the big groups by HYBE, the same company that owns BTS. And yeah, I was just like, just didn't know it was coming. And they did like loads of other promo stuff for it as well. I won't play it. Well, I'll play it while we're talking about it, but I won't put the sound on. But they did a whole video with it. I didn't get loads of views, but you know, I still feel it was cool they did it. I mean, in the past, they did. One of the things I spoke to Seijun about or tried to ask him is another big K-pop group called ITZY. They did Unite ads for it in Asia, and they did a whole video where they played it, and they Seijun was in the video with them.
That's cool.
And I was like, bro, like, I had to ask them what they were like, and it was like, I didn't really get a chance to speak to them. I was just like there, and I was like, oh man, I love K-pop. But I mean, this was just, you know when you're like two worlds collide, the two things you really like. I was just like, what is going on, man? I love Pokemon and I also love K-pop. So
nice.
This is the shizzle.
Cool, man. Very cool.
So
yeah, world's around the corner, lots going on, and I'm sure there'll be lots more to come as we get closer to it and over that weekend of the event when it unfolds.
I also did find this, which I'm assuming is also part of the world's stuff, is this Pikachu plane.
That is epic, isn't it?
Which is also very cool. And all the airports.
They've got
all the stuff up, which is really cool. I mean, obviously, Worlds last year, they did it in the XL in the UK, in London, and everywhere around it, even all the tube stations in London was also like covered in like world stuff, which was really cool. They did the cable car as well that we have over in Greenwich as well. So they're hyping it up. They're doing the stuff with it. But yeah, Worlds is a cool event. It's like Pokemon's main time to show off. Because it's got all facets of their franchise now. Because it used
Even
to just...
For people that aren't into competitive, it's just such a...
It's a cool event to watch.
Event to go to, like, just to be there. And they got the Pokemon pop-up Pokemon centers.
I mean, as we spoke about this before, when we hadn't done a podcast at Worlds, did we? Because we hadn't actually started it yet, but...
No, we just did a UIC.
We did a UIC, but... For example, they did, because we spoke about the pop-up center, the Pokemon Center at EUIC, because they did one then, but they did one for Worlds, man, and they raked. So the amount of people that just came to the XL, I mean, you couldn't get into the event hall unless you had a pass, you had to get a spectator pass to watch the event, but the amount of people that came in just for that Pokemon Center is wild, bro. Like, it just shows you, like, from like a... mainstream audience, like how much they sort of still have people that don't even necessarily play the game but just like love Pokemon, that were just there. Like, it was
that
packed.
Pokemon Center last year was
incredible.
Yeah, and it was amazing. We were quite lucky, obviously, casting, we got like early access to it, and so we that was amazing. So we got like, I think we went in on the Wednesday morning, which was pretty cool. And the products were great. They still had limits on stuff, so but like no one we went in with took the mic, you know. I remember being next to Leonhart. I actually helped him. Well, I picked out his like his TCG counter thing that he was next to me. He was like, which one should I get? And I was like, he definitely.
Did you tell this story?
One.
You were just turned around. And he was like behind you.
Yeah. He's like right next to me.
I wonder if they'll fly out any content creators for this.
Oh, yeah, there's loads of them that have been confirmed to be flying out. So I think Philly Beats You is flying out, one of them. I think there's a bunch of them. He's just the latest one I saw who was confirmed. I think, Pokemon Podcast Pokemon cast is going out. There's a bunch of creators going out. Yeah, so it's going to be crazy for meeting all the content creators, the big content creators as well. So that's pretty cool.
Very cool. Let's move on because I don't want to bore people too much.
Okay, mate. Let's move on.
Let's move
on.
What
we got next? What were we talking about? So, other things going on. No, we talked about the Open getting abandoned. That was it. Rally Boom starting this weekend.
We found this. I found an interesting article, which we had to fact check before the actual podcast today.
Let's talk about that. Yeah.
So, I found this tweet and I was like, oh, this seems interesting. Don't know how true it is, but we fact checked it and it is true.
It's very true, yeah.
Pichu in the concept art was going to be white, or one of the concept drawings. It was going to be a white it wasn't going to be yellow originally, as you can see here from the design. So it was that same design, white pigment instead of yellow. It was a special event. It was meant to be a special event introduced in Gen 4. Game Freak was planning on a white Pichu to occupy this role, but sadly, white Pichu ended up getting scrapped. Details about white Pichu were first revealed by Shoko Nagawa. I'm sorry if I butchered your name. In the 2014 autobiography, she's best known as the host of Pokemon Sunday, and she's also Pichu's voice in the Japanese anime.
Oh.
She revealed some of the concept art here, which is where it all comes from. And there is
the interesting thing about that photo there, which you're on the site now of this site, is that this area that they were in where the concept art was for the anime stuff and the concept art for the Pokemon, the new Pokemon, they were strictly forbidden from taking any photos in this area.
Oh,
so
wow.
This photo was like totally against the rules for anyone being allowed into this event, but they took this photo anyway and then posted it on Twitter, and that's how the information about this Pichu got out. Interestingly,
when Diamond and Pearl beta sprites leaked in 2019, we got to see hundreds of scrapped gender differences, but disappointing, the leak didn't include a single lost Pokemon. Oh, this is cute. So there was different little like sprites. I miss the sprites. Sprites aren't what they used to be, but some of these sprites.
No.
I mean, the Wobbuffet one is, they kept that one, didn't they?
Yeah, with the lipstick.
Yeah, with the lipstick.
Yeah.
But yeah, these are really
Mrs.
cute.
Wobbuffet.
The Pikachu one, they ended up just going with a love heart shaped tail.
Yeah.
And then didn't know. Did they do anything different with Raichu?
I don't think so. I think Raichu. No, I'm not too sure, mate. I think Raichu's pretty much the same.
But yeah, very cool.
Spiky ear, Pichu.
We love old Pokemon games. We should definitely do some playthroughs. I've been playing BDSP, as I mentioned to you, which is cool. Reminiscing. It definitely has some. It does hit you in the nostalgia really hard. I mean,
it's a great game, yeah.
It depends, obviously, what game you grew up playing, but that was mine. Whenever I hear that noise, sometimes when I just enter like a new route, I just crank the music up and just close my eyes because I'm like, bring me back to my childhood when times were good.
When times were good.
When times were hella good. So, yeah, I just thought
I had a bit of a nostalgia trip over the weekend.
Go ahead.
So I found out recently on a stream that there was a way to get, I knew about it, but I'd never spoke to anyone that had actually done it before. You can get a legitimate shiny Mew in Red, Blue and Yellow. Now the issue is there's a Mew glitch in Red, Blue and Yellow where you can get Mew in the games, but you can't transfer it out because Pokebank read it as an illegal Pokemon, like it's been hacked in almost, because it's not come from the Game Freak Mystery Gift event that you had to go to in person back in like 2099, you know, 2001 championships. I actually got that mystery gift on my Pokemon Red, but obviously the battery dying in that cartridge, that save gone, so that Mew is gone forever, which is really sad. But there is a way where you can go through the game, do some funky things in the game that are pretty sketchy, but without any external devices, and you can generate, it's a totally legitimate Mew, exactly the same as what you would have got from the Game Freak event. And there's another way for you to make it shiny, even though shinies didn't exist in Gen 1, but you can, because shinies are determined in Gen 1 off their IV spread.
Uh-huh.
So there's a way to make it shiny, so when you trade it out, it's a genuine shiny Mew
that is that you had.
Because it wasn't shiny locked either, because it's obviously all based on IV, so it was a possibility. So I spent my weekend doing that, and I was sweating at times doing it, because there's bits of it that it takes a long time to get to the part that you need to do it, like the end game, before you kind of finish it up and legitimize the Mew, and then legitimize the shiny Mew as well. So you're like 4 or 5 hours in at this stage, and these crucial points at that point when you're doing this process, if you do one thing wrong at this stage, because you're using a thing called the item underflow glitch, mm-hmm. where you can go into your item list and you do something so you can go beyond the cancel, the last button, and you carry on down a list, and you carry on and you carry on and you carry on until you find this funky 8F item that then you transport right to the top and switch out with something actually in your bag. But if you do anything wrong at this stage, anything astray, it can wipe the whole save.
No way.
So you'd have to start all over again. Yeah.
Oh,
so it's like,
bro.
I was sweating doing that, mate. I was like, oh my God. Because you've got to take a certain amount of steps, and you've got to go a certain route, and you're not in the game, really. It doesn't look like you're in an area that you would be used to in the game. It's a completely weird place in the game. Yeah, it was good, but I managed to do it, mate, and it was so cool. And then I traded it out with Poker Transfer, Poker Bank did, into Pokemon Home, and now it's in Scarlet and Violet, and I
have
a genuine Mew, just a regular one, non-shiny, and a shiny one. So I'm like, it was very cool. It was very cool.
That is wicked.
That is my retro corner story for this week. But yeah, so that is something that you can do. And I found out as well, you can do it on Pokemon Yellow as well as Pokemon Red and Blue. Red's the easiest, I think, to do it, because it's got all the Pokemon in that you can catch. I think Yellow's probably all right. Blue's a little bit harder, because you need an Arbok at one stage, and Arbok is not in Pokemon Blue, so you have to kind of glitch it in.
Wicked.
Time consuming, but that was that. Lots of messing around with missing no though, which was fun.
See, I haven't really, I don't know if, I think I did the Mew glitch. The glitch, I think I did it on my copy of Yellow.
Yeah.
But I've never done it legit, so that'd be interesting. You should, I know you mentioned you might make a guide on how to do it.
I think
cool.
I'm going to stream the whole process, but I'm going to do it on Pokemon Yellow.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to stream doing it. And what I'm going to do is, because there's a duplication glitch as well in Red, Blue, and Yellow. So what I'm going to do at the end of the stream, if I'm successful, is dupe all of these shiny Mews and then trade, like, transfer
wicked.
A box of them.
Yeah.
Transfer a box of them over to Scarlet and Violet, or a couple of boxes, and then trade them out to anyone that wants them at the end of the
stream. That's very cool.
So I was like, and then, because they are legit then, you know, they are what you would have got from that cartridge.
Yeah.
From a Nintendo employee holding that. There's no difference. And you're not using any external devices. They would got through blood, sweat, and tears. Hard work. It's not easy to do, but I used a bunch of glitches to make it a bit easier. Like, you know, you can get a Nidoking in Viridian Forest. It's like level 100 before Brock, so it makes running through the game a lot easier. So there's all those little tricks that you can do to make it a bit more manageable. But it's fun going back and doing all that
stuff. If only we had fun glitches in Scarlet and Violet and not the game-breaking ones that we got instead.
Yeah, there was that really fun duplication glitch, though, at the very beginning.
They were like, I'm ahead out. I remember the guide you made on it. I mean, you made three videos on it, and then they eventually patched it out.
Yeah, they did, yeah. The box legendary glitch where you could go in. That was cool. But they soon got rid of that.
Didn't fix the game, but
that
was like...
It was like version 1.1. So if you buy the game, you know, if you buy the game from the shop brand new, It will be on that version.
Will it? Will it not be? Depends how old it is, I guess.
It'll be 1.0, I think. Did it release at 1.1? I can't remember. But you'll still be able to do. You'll be able to do that duplication glitch on a fresh copy that hasn't been updated, which is pretty cool.
Very cool.
Glitches are fun, though.
They can, yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
That is very cool. I can't wait to see that stream. I've got one thing to add to Retro Corner, our new segment on the podcast. As we've discussed and sort of displayed on the podcast, you've done a bit of modding to your old consoles. And you're trying to get me to do it, and I'm definitely going to do it at some point. It's just when I do it. You can modify the Game Boy Advance and SP really easily. As you've done.
Really easy.
And you can also do a DS, which you just showed me before the podcast, but that is a big pain in the ass, as you have also mentioned to do. So if you want something easy, you do the Game Boys.
Don't do a DS ever. I hate the DS. Just taking it apart and the shoulder buttons and everything. It's a horrible console. It's so fiddly. I see lots of tutorials online with people doing them with no problem, and I think, how? Every time I've ever opened a DS and went into it, it's awful. Nice and easy one is an SP. It's a lovely console. It's an easy one to mod with an IPS screen. You can get nice shells for it. They're not expensive either. Clean it up. It's a really simple console, and it's just, this is out of battery, but it's just nice to look at as well. And this is the Rayquaza one, which is,
very cool.
I got this shell and the new IPS screen, which is like backlit. So, yeah.
So on the back of that, I've been doing a lot of looking just to see what kind of customization you can do, whether there are websites. I know eBay is a really good place to pick up cheap shells for like nothing, really. Like 10 to 15 quid, depending on the shell. Etsy is also really good, but Etsy can charge a lot more. They also have a lot of people that have modded them, and then they're selling them for like stupid prices anyway. So I found this company called Boxy Pixel. Don't know if you've heard of them, but they make aluminium shells for all of the old consoles, and they look sick, bro. And like, they do, so this is a website, they do it for all the old stuff, and they got their own screens and stuff as well. And so what I found, this Game Boy Advance,
that looks amazing.
You can get let's bring it up. They are quite expensive, but you can get different colors, right, of these anodized consoles.
How nice does that look?
They look wicked, man, and you can get matching like metal buttons for them as well.
That is so cool.
But yeah, it is wicked. And you can also get, they've got loads of different mods on here for all the consoles, but they have a shell for the Game Boy SP. They call it Unhinged. They've made an unhinged version of the SP, where it's essentially just a Game Boy, but just for the Game Boy Advance SP. So it's like the same sort of shape as a Game Boy, as you can see here, but it's for the Game Boy Advance SP. So if you wanted that form factor, and again, they come in all these different brushed colours. This red looks sick. The purple. And then they do like an unpolished brass, which kind of looks really sick as well.
That's nice, isn't it?
I mean, they are quite expensive, but I was watching a review of a guy, on YouTube, showing off one of them. And I was like, I really want one of these now. And they got the screens. Again, they've got all of the different... I did not know the stuff with the Switch. Oh my god, they have metal ones for the Joy-Cons. That is wild. And the back. Wow. Did not know that. But yeah, they do parts for a lot of the old consoles.
They do DS stuff.
That is the only one they don't. I don't think they do.
It's because it's such a pain to take apart.
DS Lite.
Oh, they do Macro. The DS Lite. Oh, the Micro. Okay. So,
but yeah, they got the screens as well, and they have a screen where you don't need to do... I don't know how it works because I haven't actually done one, but it says on here that they have their own coloured screen that you can put in. They actually do a white one as well for the unhinged version, they do a white one, like a white border.
Nice.
If you want the brightness control, apparently you have to solder one wire into the main board. But these have, like, if you touch the screen, it will turn the brightness up and down, which I guess is probably common. So that's nothing new, but you can order the buttons. There's a hinge diffuser, a Type C. Again, you have to solder that on, but like a Type C thing, they tell you how to do it. And even
that's
like a cart as well, which is really cool. Like, you can get it machined. I don't know why you'd want this unless you want to put the internals of a game in there, which is pretty wicked, I guess.
But I guess if you've got one of the, you know, the GB operator like I had, if that's a blank, if that's a blank game, then you could upload a ROM onto it, and you could get the sticker printed.
It's just a shell.
Oh, so it's not got the. It's not got the board or anything. I guess you could take the board out of an old Pokemon game and put it into that one, though, couldn't you? And just get the sticker in, get a new sticker and put it on. So for Pokemon Gold, you could. Well, you wouldn't do that. You'd have to do it for, like, you'd get a green one, a green metal one for Emerald, and then put your Emerald, like, the board into that metal one.
Oh, here you go. So very cool. Some guy has done some.
How much is
he's charging insane amounts of money. But, just shown, I guess it's got all the different pieces on here, but this is like a wild price. I'm guessing that's like a fully modified one in aluminium, but screw paying that.
Considering, like, how much is the shell to buy? Was that on the other site?
$139 or something.
Okay, and you can probably pick up an SP like for like, okay, so that's $139. So like
a lot of old console stuff is well expensive now.
And you can pick up SPs for dirt cheap, mate.
Yeah,
you can pick them up for like £30-40.
Guess it depends on the console.
The screens are more expensive than the actual SPs themselves. But I think because modern, the SP is probably like a lot more popular than it used to be. Price will probably keep going up on them.
Because I've got two, which is why I know you mentioned to me to should modify
definitely do it. I'm not a big fan of the like the Game Boy looking SP, because I just think just get a Game Boy Color, you know.
I was thinking that.
Although they do play different games, so
yeah.
I don't know how I feel about the cartridge going in the bottom of it as well, rather than the top. It feels kind of weird, but
so yeah, there's
that is very cool find out.
I just thought it was cool, and it just made me wanted to get one. But
yeah, I think you should do it.
We'll see. We'll see. But, I mean, that's pretty much all I have this week. I don't think there's really much else to talk about. I think we've covered a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we have. It's been good, mate. It's been interesting. It'll be interesting to see if anything kind of crops up between this week and next week. I don't expect very much news to happen at all. We might get some more Worlds info, I guess. But other than that, I don't think we'll probably see much else. You never know, though. They might bring a Spotlight Terroid event back this weekend. They could join that Rillaboom for its second phase, but other than that, I don't see very much happening at all.
No,
black and white rumor stuff is still
hot off the press.
On the roll with all of that. So
yeah. So we'll just, again, time will tell. We might have some news next week. Who knows at this point? But we'll see.
Been good.
But yeah, thank
you. Let us know your opinions on Pokemon Sleep if you have been trying it out, because that's obviously what we opened with, and we've got quite.
Yes. Please leave us a review as well.
Opinions.
On Spotify and iTunes if you listen on there, and like and subscribe to the channel if you're new. We've got fun things. We've got some cool stuff planned. So, yeah, and suggestions always take. I read all your comments. So, any suggestions we take into account. But yeah, we love doing this. And we think it could go some places. We just need to give it a bit of time.
Still had no response from Marston.
Still have no. Let me just do a quick cheeky check on Instagram, but I'm pretty convinced that nothing, unfortunately. RIP.
He's going to miss the board. We're going to get big, and then we're going to be like, you know, it's such a small fry. We asked you on when we first started.
I forgot that I followed him. This is a random tangent. He posts some weird stuff, right? On his Instagram page, and I was just like, who is this
Pokemon related?
Yeah, who is this random skinny dude on my Instagram feed, like twerking? And I was like, huh? And I was like, oh, fuck, it's Marston. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah. Till next
special
week.
Special man.
But thank you guys for listening. And I think we'll just leave it there. So, goodbye for now. And
take care of yourselves, everyone.
We will see you in next week's episode. Goodbye. Thanks again.